Hello, you're joining us on a series of our educational conversations. We're with Dr. Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello. I'd like to remind whoever does not yet know this format, if you're with us for the first time, in short, we're simulating a situation where Dr. Lightman is speaking before a class of people in any country around the globe. Probably someone has decided that they should sit and listen to what Dr. Lightman has to say. And join us, and you'll probably have what to learn. Today we'll talk a bit about one action that we have to perform in life, because all the rest of the actions, we talked about it. It's in the framework of the free choice that a person has. We have only one action, which is to correct ourselves, where the entire process that we're undergoing in our development, in our evolution, is necessitated because our ego grows every time from generation to generation throughout life, and also throughout life. And there's no other creature like man that constantly develops through life, constantly changes. But suppose, like it says, that a newborn calf is considered to already be like a grown cow or bull, meaning that any newborn beast pretty quickly has the powers to keep itself, protect itself. Not long after they're born. And until a person learns how to do this from the environment and so on for many years, he doesn't know how to protect himself. And even later on, for many years, he has to learn how to develop and so on. And he constantly changes. And he constantly has new foreign to each other desires, contradicting desires. Once he wants that, then he wants this. We meet our relatives or people that we didn't see for a certain period of time, and they say, I'm no longer doing that, nor the profession, nor the family, and I live in a different place, I'm interested in something else, I studied this, I did that. In short, a person, he is very unpredictable. Because every time there are such desires that awoke in him that he himself can't say what's going to happen with him, even in a minute, all the more in a few years. And we see this on ourselves and also on others in our life. And we also see how one generation differs from the other, and how the character, the education, the culture, the relations in the family, relations between people, in general, the political structure, everything changes. And that is the opposite to how animals are, that are completely in that very same pace, very same style, very same framework. This is how they exist. And so here we have to discern, we talked about this, that a person, wherever he is concerned about his body, about food, sex, family, the so-called food, sex, family, he relates to it as his beast, as the living level, and he treats this living level in a rational, balanced fashion. We also do many redundant things with our body, and the truth is that there's no justification for it. There are as if good things, but if we use them excessively, we only harm the body. And the very opposite, if we decrease a bit in our consumption and don't fill up our bodies with different things, we do it a big favor, and we're not poisoning it. And like the doctors say, and the doctors from ancient times that said that it is better to use a few bad things than a lot of good things, because the good things excessively, they as if bring more harm to the body than few bad and poisonous things. And so We already talked about it, that our consumption on a corporeal level, the way we exist in a family, in our society, with our kids, between us, amongst ourselves, it eventually has to bring us to a balanced level of consumption. It's not that we limit ourselves and feel ourselves second rate or something as a result, and we're living a sorrowful life. But for us to understand that up to this limit, and that's it, this is healthy and good. And if so, then what should a person do in all the rest? We said that all the rest that a person relieves himself on, he has to fill it by the human part, the part that is above the animalistic level. We as if belong to two worlds, the animalistic world and the human world. So our human, the speaking level, is in our connection with others. And in the connection with others, we have to make the serious, big work. We have to make a man out of ourselves. Each one of us is born as an animalistic living creature, comes out of his mom, 3.5 kilos, nice, healthy, and grows. And when we grow him gradually, bit by bit, first of all, we think only about his corporeal level, for him to be healthy and perfect and whole, how much he eats, how much he drinks, did the opposite. Looks at it like a living body, and that's it. Afterwards, as he grows, we see how he responds to sounds, to light and darkness, how he responds, knows how to grab everything with his hands, knows how to activate his body with different movements. In the meantime, he doesn't control his movements. Afterwards, he gains more control over his movements, and we get him toys and games, and this is how we develop him. Were we not to engage in this as human beings, that we create things especially for him, then he wouldn't have grown to be a human being. Then before us would have grown a beast. But man, he is as a result of getting education, and this is how we develop him. The problem is that our education is completely egoistic education, and we develop him in order to use the world. Although we understand that just in case we tell him, don't harm others, be a good kid, stay calm, don't take things from others, make concessions, give your neighbor, give someone else, then people won't want to harm you and so on. Meaning we understand that we bring up children on the basis of that, to the extent to which they have good relations with the environment in return will relate to them in a good way somehow. And thus, our entire teaching with the children, we're telling them, keep good relations with everyone. It's for sure, it's better that people won't want to harm you. Don't bring upon yourself a negative influence. And this is why we bring up this way, and thus our ego, the general ego that a person sees from the media, from the screens and so on, and also from the general environment, he gets good examples that we wouldn't have really wanted. But because we have no choice, we're not telling our child, go study how to be a boxer, how to cheat others, be a lawyer so no one can harm you, get into some kind of a fight group or something. We want him, despite the good relation toward others, for him to know how to protect himself, because that's how our world is. And we see that as much as a person advances from generation to generation and so on, unfortunately people have bad relations between them. Each person builds his good fortune, his success in life, on the destruction of others. And so, now when we're reaching a crisis, as a result of our entire evolution and all that we went through in previous generations, we see that we have no choice. We have big weapons in our hands. We've almost completely depleted Earth. We're influencing Earth. Ecology, the climate, we're destroying ourselves and the entire human race. Even space around Earth is full of garbage and waste that we leave there, and it's even a problem to go out there now. And the main thing is that we're not satisfied about life. The general despair that is coming to the world, destruction in education for children at schools, and eventually we come to a decision that we have no choice. We have to change man. Like our parents once told us, be a good kid, don't hit others, make concessions, then you'll have lots of friends and you'll be in a good environment. Don't come closer to these kids, to these you should, and so on. This is how we have to educate ourselves, to keep on educating ourselves this way, because the situation is really a threatening situation in life. And so, the only correction that we have to make upon ourselves is to make a man out of ourselves, a human being, meaning on that level of our animalistic life, the bodily life, that we have to give it everything that it needs in a balanced way, in a rational way. Atop that, we have to build ourselves not as savages, but as human beings. Meaning our whole self or general work, social work, group work, and world work is actually, all in all, it comes down to us wanting to educate ourselves from mutual hatred, mutual rejection, envy, lust, honor, dominion that we want to operate in the relations between us, and move it to relations of mutual considerations, arvut, love. And it's not simply nice words. This is how nature is advancing us, developing us. Evolution is developing us to a state where if we don't reach good relations, nothing good will come out. We see that even in the previous generation, we have developed up till now international commerce, culture, different kinds of international connections where people move from one country to another and fly and enjoy it. And nonetheless, we see that, no, we are reaching unpleasant states, unpleasant situations. If we have to keep on developing, we as if have to connect between us, not simply for there to be as a common market in Europe. We have to have the whole world common. We see that our ego is advancing us toward that, but is standing in our way of being in a good relation, mutual relations, mutual understanding. We see that even in Europe now, countries are struggling between them. They're in strife, and they're actually neighbors. They're interdependent, and the cancellation of borders and one currency. And something stands in the way of advancing. What? Because Europe, it could really be a power. We have America, suppose Russia, China, could be India, Brazil is rising. And what about Europe growing old, getting weaker, only because they can't unite into some one great superpower, even for egoistic reasons, to transcend the general weakness. They can't, because there are great gaps in education and culture, in the relations between them, also in their history. They can't transcend all of these already existing relations. And here we have to see, is it possible to connect above, atop all of these differences, like we learn that actually the method of our correction, of the correction of our ego, is that we leave all of these differences in culture, religion, education, and everything. And atop all of this, we want to spread the umbrella of love, of peace. And inside, any person can live in his culture, religion, education, be as he is. But along with that, treat others nicely. I can give an example from my own family. My parents are doctors on the one side. On the other side, engineers. My wife, she's an engineer. It's hard to say who I am. I'm engaged in ontology. This is my last profession. Before that, cybernetics. A daughter of mine in biology. Another son in book publishing. The other daughter is in philosophy. And each one of them is very different in character. But there is kind of a consent that we all belong to a family, and in the family, we complete each other. Maybe we wouldn't even felt that we belong to one family. That could happen as well. But what do I want to say? That even though we're all so different, and so different in opinion and behavior and in the orders of life, and really, I see that were it not for some kind of one force that is above all the differences that ties us together, we would have never met each other. We wouldn't ever meet. So the question is, can we do the same in order to have a good life, to be saved from wars and destruction, to stop the tsunamis and hurricanes, the explosions of volcanoes and the explosions of the markets and the economical system? Can't we do the same between us? A person, as it says, will give and do anything that he can, that he's really already under. It's a life-threatening situation. So we have to understand that here comes a method which is the most important of all sciences, that each science, any engagement of ours in life, is measured to the extent to which we can benefit our life. And here, if we have a method of connection, which is our method of savior, being truly saved from committing suicide, then of course this method is most important above any other science, and we have to really engage in it seriously, because the integral method of education is actually about to save us from any evil, and also not simply to neutralize the different dangers that stand before humanity, as wars, as bankruptcy on the world market, a wave of hunger and problems and plagues. Besides this method keeping us from harm, this integral system of education. It also elevates us to good. It does something that we feel vitality on a new level in the relations between us. We open the so-called man, the speaking level, that there we exist in connection with the internality of nature, with an engine that operates the whole process of our development, with the thought, with the greatest force that exists in nature. We open up for ourselves a sensation here that we start feeling nature this way. When we start feeling nature this way, we start feeling the eternity and perfection of nature. And when we discover that, we start becoming a part of it. We start being fulfilled by it, living it. This is actually what the integral method of education gives us. And thus, this wisdom, this method, it is above all other sciences that humanity, method sciences that humanity has. We have to acknowledge that by the results that according to which we appreciate, evaluate every system and method and science, there isn't anything that even comes close. So now that we understand the importance, after we understand the importance of the integral method of education, then it's important for us not to only introduce it upon ourselves, but also to pass it on to others. Because as much as I bestow on to others and others bestow, to the extent to which I influence others and others influence me, or bestow upon others and they bestow upon me, we give each other an example for bestowal through this urge, pressure, stimulation, and that's how we advance. And we needn't only study how to relate nicely to each other, but how to influence each other with this good attitude and set an example for each one. It's like our parents gave us examples as to how to play how to play nicely, how to correctly relate to life. This is harmful, this is useful, and this is how we have to educate each other. A person studies from everyone. There's no big or small. And we're responsible for the examples that we set, not only to our children, but also to our friends and to those that are greater than us and smaller, both in age and in status. Everyone has to feel himself as a guide for others. And this has to give him tremendous responsibility over his behavior. Each person has to sustain himself thus that in his behavior toward others depends the entire human faith. And it's not simply good, nice words, but this is how our nature is, whether we're inspired by each other or not, even subconsciously, even if I don't really respect a person. One way or another, I am influenced by him. And taking into consideration that this behavior toward people demands, nature demands it from us, we really need to get this entire integral education that we're learning in a serious manner and to understand that this is what humanity is expecting, this is what it needs, and this is what it will get in the good, best possible way if we'll be able to continue that education like we've received it in the past from children and from our parents in a good, nice, soft way. Each person has recollections from that, and for sure he'll want to feel treated that way. Everyone has a deficiency, a desire for that. We actually have to grow this way. And just like that, at the age, at a smaller age, when you're still an infant, we need only the parents to treat us lovingly because we don't understand the broader world, but we have to build such a vast and beautiful world that after the parents, we start feeling more love, further love from our friends, small and bigger, that also get the right kind of education than in school, in the university, in our working places, in society, everywhere. Meaning when I pass from hands to hands, meaning to broader hands of the whole of humanity, I constantly feel that very same attitude of consideration and love, the same as I was born into love between, I was born from the love between the mother and the father, and this is how I keep with this feeling all through life, until I feel this upper, this general love as the upper force, the law of nature. And then I feel the harmony existing in this entire system, that we build such a system between us. That means to build the right kind of wrapping or the right environment in order to educate a person, each and every person, and that we build such people. That means that we're really building a person, the speaking level, from a savage, from the animals, that in the meantime we exist this way between us. So, in this nice, good attitude of mutual consideration, mutual bestowal, we sustain two kinds of behavior here. A good, nice behavior toward people, on the human level, on our level, and the good and nice behavior toward the general, collective, conclusive nature, the general law of nature, which is also a mutual bestowal and love. That is a result of this general force. Nature builds the entire process, and within, and we exist within its process. So, here, we're encouraged by two. One is that we exist in a good, nice fashion in human society, and as a result of being in balance with nature. And then we benefit from both sides. And here, we can also see that maybe we will have some mistakes and an unbalanced relation. Maybe we will. The main thing is that we have to treat balance, nature in a balanced fashion. Especially we see the ecologists and the green that are concerned only about nature and animals and the vegetative and animalistic levels. And we see that it doesn't really help them protect nature, because without the relations between people accordingly, for people to be in the right kind of relations between them, we can't preserve nature. One depends on the other, where when a person becomes good, he becomes good to everything. He'll also protect the still, vegetative, and the animate. He'll use it only for his basic needs, and that's it. And then nature will come back to balance. And all of the things that we've harmed in the real destruction of whole parts of it will awaken and will once again come to us, and the world will be balanced once again. Thus, we, from these two directions, how to relate to a person or to nature, first relate to the person, first educate a person. From love of man to the love of the general nature. This is the way to go. That's the direction. But also, in relating to the person, We have to understand that eventually we have to reach a balance with the general law of nature, with the general process, with our entire evolution, meaning to take these two things into account. And turns so out that here I place before myself some kind of a process. I toward the people that have to come to love and then later on achieve the general love that exists in nature. And this is how I actually complete my whole particular correction. This correction that we have to build above the vegetative level to the, about the animalistic level to the speaking level, this process we have to undergo, which is intended for my human part, not for the bodily part, but I realize it through my bodily part because this is actually my tool. In my attitude, in my relation, in the way I act toward others, in a good attitude, or possibly as before it was bad, it's activization through speech, thought, and action. In speech, I have to convince myself, also through the inner talk. A person constantly talks to himself on the inside and talk toward others, meaning in what direction do we have to change, where the need to change in direction of bestowal up to where we reach love toward everyone. This is the direction we have to take, and this is what we have to come to. Then comes the thought, which precedes the speech and the action, which I first have to formulate. It comes as a result of an inner calculation that I take within myself. I get it from the environment and society and my educators. So first of all, formulate the thought, then bring it to speech. But talk is just talk, as we say, but it can be valid if it is also strengthened by the action. And the action is that I have to take upon myself all of those free, vacant hours of the necessary taking care of my animalistic body where I'm completely either studying about the integral education or I am in dissemination, in activities toward others, bring all people to a uniform level where at least everyone will live above the poverty line in a respectable fashion and just distribution, and no one will really feel himself to be that he is neglected towards others. Meaning both the thought, then the speech, and then the action have to be aimed for building a new balanced environment, society where everyone is in an integral, on an integral level, in an analogical system, so that I organize myself such where I want to constantly be influenced by the society, by a more integral society. Then I formulate this thought within myself. I bring it out through speech, through persuasion, through this explanation system in which I am, and then in action where I in practice influence through education and teaching, and also an influence by bringing the whole level of living in the world so that there will be no one left in the world who's suffering of hunger and is deprived of his basic needs. This is actually our work, and by this we reach balance with nature. And this is what we have to constantly emphasize, that this is our goal. We people reach balance between us, and in the balance between us, we reach balance with the general nature, with the collective law. And so, by this, we formulate a round, whole, perfect, complete system. And by this, we finish our evolutional process, where our entire development, really from the creation of life on Earth, is reaching a balanced state, is reaching an end. Not that everything ends, Scientists are talking about it, that soon the sun will be turned off, will quench. Soon it's 400 billion years or something, doesn't matter, we can wait. But we're reaching the end of man's development. If he reaches the balance with nature, this full harmony, then there is no further pressure upon him from nature, and he lives in a perfect way. Let's hope that we'll be able, also for ourselves, to at least start feeling this thing and preparing it for our children and grandchildren, for sure, that is in our hands. And here, too, we have to understand that this development, meaning the persuasion, the scrutinization, the correction, or the self-correction, from being an egoist to being an altruist, taking each other into consideration, it doesn't depend on time, 4 billion years, or that can change from one generation to the next. It can change in our generation, but it all depends on a person's willingness, the extent to which he's ready to change. And we already learned this, the matter of free choice, that our whole desire depends on the environment, on society. Then to the extent to which each one of us will not work on himself, that I'll convince myself this will never give good results, but we have to build the environment, society, for it to influence us, and then we will all change. So let's go build a good, nice environment for all of us together, by which we will be convinced, and very quickly we'll want to change and be connected in mutual guarantee. And correspondingly, we will reach such a intenseness of the influence of the environment over us that our change could really be quick. The levels of still vegetative and animate developed throughout billions of years, because they developed by the ego that had to develop in us. We're not responsible for it. We're not in control of it. The ego grew this way, was grown this way by nature every time, and we realized it ever more. But now, the power of development, the pace of development, is in our hands, because everything depends on the environment. And now I go and build the environment artificially, and the more advanced I'll be able to build it, the more it will be able to influence us. The stronger it influences me, the more it influences me. And here I need the scientists and psychologists and artists and everything that exists in humanity in order to make the most intensive possible influence over us. And then we can see ourselves in our lifetime, in this generation, in a happy life, and see what do we leave for our children. And so, if we also divide a person's desires correspondingly, we can say that our desires divide into two parts. Desires that have to do with the person himself, personal particular desires, and human desires, social desires. And toward himself, a person has to limit his desires, taking only what he needs for his basic needs. That goes for correction. And the rest he should develop only in favor of society, in favor of starting with the closest circle, my friends, then a broader and broader circle, until I will develop myself through the influence of the environment in a good and nice attitude, in consideration, responsibility for mutual guarantee and love toward the entire world. And so, here we have to understand that on these levels, that in these circles where we come out of ourselves and perceive ever more the relations with these circles in humanity, broader and broader circles, I get more wisdom, more of a feeling, I'm more integrated with everyone. I feel the whole of reality until I feel the whole of nature, and correspondingly I open for myself a new reality in which I live in a way that I come out of myself and feel everyone. And this is really sustaining a person on the human level, the speaking level that nature has prepared for us, and thus we come to the right realization of our existence here in this world. This is actually, I can say that. That's it. It was based on the article One Precept. And I talked a bit also about the wisdom of Kabbalah with respect to other sciences. Yeah, there were a few minutes about this. How important it is with respect to the other parts of science. You talked about when we were small, our parents brought us up to be nice, because this way we will have a good life. And I think that everyone remembers that. And then you said, like, back then when we were small, when we were told that it's good for us to relate nicely to each other, this is actually how today, as grown-ups, we have to organize for ourselves such an environment that will actually keep on telling us the same, treat each other nicely. And I think that I understand this more or less, but what I don't get is you said that we also have to relate nicely to, that is to say, general nature. This is something that I don't exactly understand. To treat others nicely, I remember that I was told to do so, but what does it mean to treat general nature nicely? Still, vegetative and animate, don't I have to protect these levels? Don't I have to love nature? Loving nature, it means that I live in it, and I don't simply live in a way where to use it as much as I can. The more I can use it, the better. So let's break down the mountain. Let's dry out the sea. Let's do what's good for us. We have to relate to these things in a balanced fashion. The whole problem with ecology, why ecologists aren't succeeding and we are going to succeed, because we say that nature is in balance. Let's first of all learn about ourselves. What does it mean to be in balance? Let's feel between us what it means to be balanced, what it means to keep everything, and I take from the whole of nature, from the total sum, only what I need for my existence. Like animals. This way, if we educate people and it's a part of our integral education, then of course, ecology will also be treated nicely, also the collective nature, the surrounding nature. You can't only bring up a person, educate him to good relations between people, but you have to also teach him good relation toward nature, general nature, also the definition of nature. What is that? We're developing, something moves us, something motivates us. Where does this come from? Where do these developmental forces come from? Where is my tomorrow? I don't know it. But there are even people who discover it, who feel it. We see a graduality, a cause and cause, a consequence, cause and effect. We see how nature, by cause and effect, develops, how each and everything depends on others. Einstein really wanted to reach the general formula of life. So these things, they're known in science. And the mutual influence of all parts of nature over each other. So we're not exceptional. If we learn about ourselves, how we should be united, also we have to be united with collective nature and also with that law of the general nature, which is the law that develops us and the whole of nature in general, not only me, not only human society, but also the vegetative and animate develop, but nevertheless, more slowly. The whole universe develops. Where? We don't know. But it's a fact that it develops. It extends, expands, it's undergoing different processes. We can't even understand them yet, but it's nevertheless, it's not in vain. The more we advance, we see that there is a tremendous lawfulness to it. And all of the laws that we discover, we eventually see that they are interconnected. I'm the only one who is incapable of seeing the connection between the laws of biology and zoology and botany and man and the stars and numerology. I can't see the connection between these things, but actually it is one nature. There is no division in nature between these things. You see, so we have to holistically whole, from the word whole, to relate to nature this way, and we as a part of it. Life necessitates us to do so. I'm not groupie of any method, but besides the facts that we get from each research. I'm not a follower of any method. You said that our direction of that development, in order for us not to go astray, should be from love of man to the love of nature. What does that mean? There is two directions here. I can develop a good attitude towards human society, and then in this good attitude I can say, let's eat and drink for tomorrow I don't know what. Doing so, we can destroy Earth. Or the other way, like those that are involved in ecology and preserving nature, say that they don't care about people, but the main thing is preserving nature. I say, no, it has to be round, it has to be one. There has to be one kind of attitude toward everything. A man is a part of nature, and thus, both in human society and the man inside his family and toward the general nature, everything, there has to be the same attitude towards it all. We must reach balance among all parts because we see that that's what happens in nature. All in all, we come from this to keep the general law of balance, of equilibrium, like planets and stars and everything influences each other, and on Earth, like you do something, if you can distinguish it all, and you get if you do something on one side of Earth, we get a result on the other side. We have to also understand where we are, and we have to relate, refer to ourselves this way. I don't see any problem about it. I don't understand what we're supposed to do. To love people, this I understand. Okay, so when you talk in our education about the good attitude between people, that good attitude has to be toward the still, the vegetative, and the animate. That we are actually nourished by them. And to add to that, the same attitude of balance has to be to the general law of nature. that keeps and sustains the whole of reality. It's the general engine according to which everything moves. In our research, where we research nature, we're actually researching the particular laws of the general law that scientists want to come to. They want to find that particle, that special boson, that is like the stem cells, that is like the stem cell in the structure of the universe, this part. They want to reach an equation inside which they can express the whole law of nature that Einstein and his followers really wanted to feel, examine, see, because they feel that there is such a thing, that without that, it's impossible that everything exists. So we try to come to that. And actually, this is what humanity is drawn to. Man is drawn to understand where he is. The general urge of a person is to know what that is. What am I in now? What form, what real form does it have? What kind of an engine turns it all? Because my future depends on it, like my past. That's my destiny. By this I can know that I'll succeed in my actions. If they'll correspond my development, I can succeed and maybe hasten my development. If I go in the opposite direction or I deviate, then correspondingly I lose. I already saw these things happen in my history. And also in life, if we look at kids, in advance we can say, you'll succeed in this, you won't succeed in that. To the extent to which we understand laws, you can say, you have such and such a character, and these and those are your conditions. Those and those are your possibilities. In this you'll succeed, in that you won't. We can explain to you why yes and why not. So in this, we keep a person from making fatal mistakes. We can do the same on us. We want to do the same on us. That's the development of science. It's not simply making more advanced mobile phones. It is to understand the essence of life, why, what for, how to benefit ourselves in general. Look, the form in which humanity is. With all of our abilities, we've reached a terminal state. It doesn't fit man. So of course, if here we an understanding and knowing this general law, it will give us a line, a green light to understand what to advance to, where to advance to, how to build ourselves nicely, practically in life, and for our children. Yes. So there is some kind of a layer of balance that I don't understand what to do about it. You won't understand, then you'll understand later during the studying. You'll understand it throughout on the lesson. So what can I say? You don't understand, then you don't understand. You know that throughout the years you become smarter. Maybe in half a year you'll become smarter. I don't know. Plenty of scientists talk about this. It's not only my opinion. I'm talking about the general global nature here that has laws, and we learn these laws in science. And we learn from all this, we see that everything is connected and round. And the fact that you are in a global crisis, that you didn't believe that this will happen, you thought I can do whatever I feel like, and suddenly you see that no. On the contrary, it's not like you feel. You can't do what you feel like. You're interconnected with others, and you're saying, no, the world is not global. Now you're starting to talk to me about it. I'm not starting from that at all. I start from a point that this is well known. I'm not talking to you about the Creator. I'm talking to you about nature, about general nature. You have plenty of scientists that talk about this. And the fact is that today you're living it, you're eating it on your pocket, on your health, on the world situation. You feel the globality of nature, and you're telling me no. Then I have nothing to say. Anyone can say, I don't believe, I don't hear, I don't nothing. So great. I don't talk to that person. It's impossible. Can I ask about something else? Yes, I only recommend that you go to different scientific sources, and there prove me that it is otherwise. You have no science today that thinks that physics is physics and chemistry is chemistry and they're not interconnected. No such thing. We are in this for tens of years now that we have understood this. The nature was always this the way, but since it's now tens of years since we started understanding this, the influence of environment over a person and a person over the environment, we didn't think that it could happen, but look what's happened to the climate. Look what happens to the oceans with the pollution and everything. There is no influence. It influences everyone. Yes. Earlier you said that with respect to balance, that we have to balance our body. And you said that today there are things that we consume that as if destroy our body. So what is there to say here? You have plenty about it on the internet, plenty of such facts. Okay, so the question is, can you explain a bit what should be the attitude towards this? The attitude, I'll tell you. I have diabetes, small diabetes, but I have diabetes. Where does this come from? It came as a result of me loving sweets. I love sugar. Now, if there was no sugar in nature, and there is no sugar in nature, there are fruits, there's honey, but there's no sugar. Were I not to exaggerate using sugar, I wouldn't have reached it. There are many kinds of foods that we make only in order to fill someone's bank account and to fill the hospitals with ill people correspondingly. That's it. So I'm saying that humanity really needs to examine itself, test itself from beginning to end and all that it does, and to take out all the things that are poisonous for a person. And really, bit by bit, gradually, first of all, give some substitute until you eradicate them altogether. Like now, we're fighting smoking. This way, we'll fight each and everything that's harmful for the body. What does not exist directly in nature? Vegetables, fruits, meat, fish, water, all the rest? No. We can live without Red Bull and different other things. What's not in a part of nature, what doesn't exist in nature, for sure harms the body. Maybe we didn't test it yet in a way that we've proven it. But we have to understand it this way, to accept it that if it exists in nature, you can use it in a good way. If it doesn't, for sure, you use it very poorly. Whatever you do with it, the result will be poor. Today, suppose I want to start implementing this method towards food, it costs, towards nourishment, it costs three times as much. No, I'm not saying that we have to return to being naturalists or clean biology without genetics, without all the cloning that we do and so on. No choice. Otherwise, we won't be able to feed humanity. We have to give it to them. Without that, we'll all starve to death. No choice. We have to use all of these things, but bit by bit, now, we have to make researches and do those things that we do by genetics and chemistry in different ways. In other ways, I have a friend growing fruits and vegetables in the south of Israel, and there's no chemistry there. He uses biology, different kinds of bugs that eat other bugs or other pests. So, and gradually advance towards ecology. That's why I'm saying that the education has to be such an integral education that will bring us a correction, a remedy in all of the fields in life. Here we really determine a good, balanced attitude toward everything that man does. And you will have a revolution in our entire attitude, and then results in technology and agriculture and economics and everything. Educating ourselves with respect to grown-ups, this the way we say it. How should we relate to this? Through the environment. Yeah, but to educate, meaning when I was a child, my parents and my educators educated me. Now we have to educate ourselves. So who's the educator and who's being educated? You organize yourself with respect to the environment that it shows you the preferable, your preferable advanced form. You come under the influence of this environment and then you change. I heard that it's good to be an architect, but I don't have a desire for it or nothing. But I heard it's good. Besides, smart people told me that it's good for you because this profession brings you to something special. So I go and learn how to be an architect. I go to their parties and their picnics and their meetings and whatever, and I integrate into it and I listen and I hear everyone's talking about the importance of the profession, how to build these or those kinds of houses and how they invent the different tremendous things, and I become influenced by it, integrated in it, and suddenly I stop being indifferent toward it, and I hear they say maybe we should do it that way, and he says we should do it this way, and I start thinking maybe I would have done it differently, maybe I would have done it this way. I already start getting a desire from them. I think how I would have done it, meaning there is already a kind of a change in me that previously I had no desire from, and suddenly I find myself interested, having an opinion, and I go and study how to become an architect. This is how a person always gets it. Where do we get desires for the different kinds of life, science, the profession? Where do we get it from? I see that it exists in this world, and that's that. If you take some peasant from some distant place, he doesn't have internet or anything. What does he know? He knows that I can be with the cows or with the agriculture or with the chicken, and that's it. what do I have there? These are the professions. If you take someone rural, yeah? And then he sees these are the professions, and he thinks, this is beneficial, this isn't, and so on. Every person learns from his environment. I remember my dad, who really wanted me to become a musician, he didn't let me go watch movies for children. No. He took me himself to watch movies about great musicians, the great composers. And then I saw there Mozart, Beethoven, all the different kinds of movies about their life. The truth is that I didn't see anything good. They all lived in different such forms that he was poisoned, he became deaf, he's something else. But I'm telling you that I got the greatness of these people that sacrificed themselves for their great desire to make great compositions. And this has stayed with me. So I didn't get the desire to be like them, but I got an appreciation toward what they did. From my nature, nonetheless, but I was impressed by it. Someone else instead of me would have also became a composer or something. I didn't. But nevertheless, each person from that very environment is impressed according to the type of his character. What is the summary for our lesson today? The summary is that, all in all, what we have to do is one action. It's love covers all crimes. That all of us are felons, and for us to put the umbrella of love over all those criminals. This is the conclusion of our conversation and the entire good action that we have to do. And by this, we reach balance with the whole of nature, that it is impossible for us to have any kind of bad feeling, but for us, we'll feel ourselves above the still, the vegetative, the animate, above our current life, on a level that is completely love, completely perfection. And this is what we will leave for our children. Thank you very much. Thank you also for being with us. Come to our meetings, and till next time, all the best.